Welcome to episode 69 of Frank Reactions, the show where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Tema Frank. Today's episode blends an interest in culture change and in market research. My interview is with Tanya Krehr and Ann Coulter. Tanya works for ATB Financial, which is a bank in Alberta, which was created during the Dust Bowl era in the 1930s after the big Eastern banks all pulled out of the West. So the provincial government set up their own. And that bank still exists. And actually, in the interview, we talk a little bit about how the bank has had to transform itself without losing that strong connection with the rural roots and the people that it was originally set up to support. And she is joined by Ann Coulter, who is with a research company that does marketing research using a psychoanalytic core. And we talk a little bit about that in the first part of the interview. Just a couple little things before we get rolling on the interview. You will hear Tanya refer a couple of times to Dave. That's Dave Mowat, who is the CEO of ATB Financial. And I've actually recorded an interview with him as well, which will be coming up in a future episode. She also talked about something, and you may have trouble making out what she was saying, but it's the 10 ATBs. From what I gather, that is basically a list of core values, very much modeled on what companies like Zappos have done. If you missed last week's show, it was with entrepreneur Dan Locke, and we talked about employee happiness and whether or not the importance of employee happiness is a myth. So I'd be kind of curious about what you thought about that episode. Either send me an email, Tema, T-E-M-A, at frankreactions.com, or post a comment on the website, or give me a phone call at our toll-free number, which is 1-866-544-9262. Chat with you briefly at the end of the interview.
My name is Tanya Krehr. I'm the Director of Client and Marketing Research at ATB Financial. I've been there just about 8 years, always in the research department. My entire career has been marketing research.
Okay. And you?
My name is Ann Coulter. I'm Managing Director at RSG, which stands for Research Strategy Group. We're based in Toronto and do work across the country.
All right. So you did a presentation today for the MRIA in which you talked about a project that Ann, you helped Tanya do.
Tanya.
I'm sensitive to these things, having a weird name myself. Do at ATB. And so I want to start off by asking a few questions. You talked, Ann, about using psychoanalytics. Mm-hmm. So first of all, can you explain to the audience, what are psychoanalytics?
Okay. Psychoanalytics is something that we embed into research projects, mostly in a qualitative phase of research. And the reason that we do that is that when we use psychoanalytics, it helps us to get down to the deeper motivations, the unconscious motivations that we talk about having an unconscious program that drives people in terms of making the decisions the way they do in all kinds of different categories. And when we talk to people at a rational level or at a conscious level, they don't access those deeper motivations. Mm-hmm. They are talking to us from the very top part of their brain. If you think about the psyche as a bit of an iceberg, the 10% that shows up top, that's equivalent to what we all have access to in terms of expressing why we do things the way we do. But that doesn't get to the very deeper motivating drivers of why we behave as consumers the way that we do. So psychoanalytics is a tool that enables us to access those deeper motivations.
So how is it validated? Like, how do you know that that's legit, what you're getting?
Well, we work with a trained psychoanalyst.
Okay. So you did research to try and understand the emotional drivers mm-hmm. that people have when choosing a bank or choosing to stay with a bank. And one thought, Tanya, that went through my mind when I was listening to this, and you started off by saying how many of you love your bank and how many of you have left a bank. Wouldn't a lot of that have been obvious to you already, simply based as having been customers?
To Anne's point, I'm used to hearing the I left because of this. But what we never really understood was the whys. How often, how many times did that have to occur? Are we eroding the goodwill of our customers away? Mm-hmm. And is it a one and done? So we really needed to understand, outside of just what Anne said, the contextual stuff that you can rhyme off on the top of your head around why you leave and why you join.
Right.
But no one in our organization really understood that if we talk about this, that we're really saying safety, security, we've got your back.
Mm-hmm.
And to put it in that kind of context, that was never delivered in any of our presentations that we gave to our executives. So when Anne came in and we wrapped up the presentation, it was just like light bulbs were going off in the room, and you could see that, oh, we need to do this and this and this.
Right.
Yeah,
and I can see safety and security coming back to that psychoanalytics thing. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely at that deeper level.
Yes.
That you wouldn't have thought about.
People can articulate my money is safe because it's locked up in a safe in a bank. But they can't really articulate that when you give me this loan, it's safety for my family, safety for my family. It's not just for me, it's for my family. So there's more deep-rooted emotions in there.
Okay.
And we never really look at, like, when you think of it, is it a mortgage? No, it's a home we're selling.
Right.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by this notion that one of the ways you tried to get at the emotional side of things was asking people to write either a love letter or a breakup letter to the bank. Mm-hmm. So would one of you like to comment a bit about that?
It was fantastic. Like, when we got them back and we were reading them, it brought tears to your eyes. Like, on how some banks either are admired by their customer, so they're evangelists, they'll die for their bank. And you never hear that. So that's why I asked the question, how many people love their bank? Because not many people think of their bank in that way.
Yeah.
And same with the breakup letters. It's like, oh my gosh, if they had just done this on that step, it would have saved that customer. And it's hard, like, a lot of banks don't have a good organizational memory.
Yeah.
So customer comes in and talks to the person in the branch. It's not tied into any system so that when they call the call center or care center, that you don't know that you already spoke to someone in the branch with the same issue. So to you, it's like, I keep telling everybody, but they're not helping me.
Absolutely.
And at ATB, it's like, okay, now we need to connect the dots for the customer.
Yep.
And make it seamless for them.
Yep.
So that when they come to us with what we call it, the customer might say, I might have a complaint, but with us, it's a gift. You're giving us an opportunity to make it right for you, and we're going to do it.
Yeah. I worked in a bank many years. Actually, two things that you said sort of brought that back. This was back in the 80s. And one of the things we did is we had a guarantee. So if within 90 days you weren't satisfied with the service, just tell us why, and we'll give you double the service charges back. And that was precisely why. We wanted to find out what's going wrong.
Yes.
And then often, usually, you could fix it.
And fix the root cause.
Yeah,
not just fix it
absolutely.
For one customer.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the other thing that I thought was intriguing when you were talking about encouraging your customers to spread the word about how great you are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the campaigns I had launched at this bank was what I called the Bring Back a Friend card.
Yeah.
And it was literally little referral bonuses that they get.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah, if I can just add to what Tanya just said there, one of the things that we noticed as themes that came through in those breakup letters and those love letters was that, and we talked a little bit about this in the presentation, about how most of banking is routine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it doesn't, you don't really need to disrupt that. It's smooth sailing. People, you know, they have their bank accounts set up. They have their you know, pays that get deposited. It's pretty much routine.
Yeah.
But it's what we heard in those love letters and those breakup letters was the non-routine things that came to light. Like people, the kinds of things that people got upset about that we heard about in the breakup letters, or that they loved that we heard about in the love letters, were when a person was going through something very personal.
Yeah.
So, you know, a marriage, joining bank accounts.
Right.
That's a new thing for a person that maybe they've never done before, and it's a big thing in their lives. From a bank's perspective, maybe it's nothing, but from the person's perspective, it's a very significant event.
Right.
A death in the family, when someone has to deal with, you know, at a very emotional time in their lives, they have to go and deal with
estates.
I'm working through that. Both my father and father-in-law died last month.
So these are the times that people, the kinds of things that resonated that we heard about in those love letters were around those kinds of events where people have an emotional reaction to something going on in their lives, and the reaction that they see at their bank can really make a huge difference in how they feel.
Yeah. Well, and I think you made a really excellent point, which is
what we normally want from our bank is for everything to just continue to be mm-hmm. routine and normal.
And not think about it.
And then mm-hmm. if they screw up when there's an important moment,
yep.
all that goodwill is gone.
Yep.
Years of a relationship yes. have ended. Mm-hmm.
And they remember the bad stuff, like even
course.
In the sessions. It could have been 20 years ago you did this.
Yeah. Yep.
However, when we said, was there anything good, it might have something happened that was positive in like the last 2 months, they couldn't articulate that. But they remembered, like an elephant, 20 years ago you did this. So
because it was traumatic.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting was your notion of using simulators. So you'd done all this research, learned a lot about what the drivers were of customer behavior. And Tonya, I do want to get to you in a moment about retention versus acquisition, but tell me more about the simulator and what that was. And because what struck me about it is it could be a great way to get buy-in to some of the findings. So mm-hmm. just explain that a bit.
Well, we do simulators a lot where we do discrete choice modeling. Discrete choice modeling lends itself to creating scenarios, alternative scenarios. We find...
And actually, just I'll interrupt you because not everybody listening will be familiar with discrete choice modeling. Mm-hmm. So can you explain briefly what that
sure.
is?
Yeah, sure. Discrete choice modeling is a research method that forces respondents, and I use the word force because mm-hmm. we're forcing respondents to choose one alternative or another.
Yeah.
It could be, it could be one or another, or it could be among a full shelf set in a consumer packaged goods kind of context. They could be looking at a shelf set of a category, but we're controlling what they see.
Yeah.
And then there's an experimental design behind these varying combinations so that respondents might see a choice set in the context of this ATB project. They might see a choice set, which is the equivalent of a question.
Mm-hmm.
And in that choice set, they'll see combination A, which might have one particular message and another, some information about rates and some information about online capabilities and, you know, all of the elements that we built into the design. It would create one combination for each of these elements against another combination for a different set of elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're asking respondents to look at these two different options and say, which one of these would make you most interested in banking, let's say at ATB.
Right.
And then we show them a series of these different trade-off examples
mm-hmm.
and they make choices. And the choices that they make throughout let's say there's 12 different choice sets, the choices that they're making reveal patterns in how each person is a customer or potential customer, what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, I'm driven much more by, I want the latest technology. I don't care about the other stuff. I don't care if you have branches, you know, bricks and mortar branches. I want access to online. I don't ever want to go to a branch. I want online. I want technology. Those would be the kind of things that I'm going to be looking at every time you show me a different choice set.
Right.
Then Tonya might have a different kind of set of characteristics that is more motivating to her. Maybe she's more interested in the customer service and she wants more of the kind of the support and the customer service. So the kinds of elements that she's going to be responding to as she goes through her choice sets are those that will focus more on those kinds of things. And so when we have a whole sample of people, we can look at the patterns of what is guiding each person individually, but then we aggregate it together and we can look at the kinds of things that are of more interest to a non-customer
mm-hmm.
to look at acquisition,
right.
a customer to look at retention, younger people, older people. And so we turn this model,
mm-hmm.
it's called a behavioral model using discrete choice modeling. We turn that model into a simulator, which basically enables us and then the client team ultimately to look at all the different combinations and manipulate characteristics and simulate the impact mm-hmm. on all of these different populations.
And so you're simulating the impact ultimately on what it will do to the bank's profits
or
acquisition,
counts of customers coming in the door,
okay.
and retaining customers that are already here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we, as a team, took those simulators, worked with a number of different departments at ATB from product, marketing, communications, sat them down. Like Anne said, everyone had it installed on their laptops. It's an Excel-based program.
Yeah.
And it's literally drag and drop.
Okay.
On different types of scenarios. And as you're dragging and dropping, the numbers that tell you how much you're going to acquire versus retain in your existing fluctuates. So mm-hmm. you can and there was hundreds of different options under
millions
each.
You could have, like, in terms of the number of combinations it could be in the millions. Now obviously that's way too much for any client person or any research person to deal with, but we're looking for the patterns of where the strongest impact is on those different population groups.
And we had a fun time with it, because when we had my peers in the room and a team came in and helped guide us through the whole process, we made it into kind of like a game. We said, okay, who can figure out what's going to drive retention? So we're just looking at retention. What possible combinations do you think that you could create, product person, marketing person, that would appeal to the most customers joining ATB?
Right.
And it took about 15 minutes, but we got pretty close where most people were like, okay, I'm not too far off. But what I had in my head wasn't too far off from increasing our acquisition of new customers.
So let's talk then about the trade-off between acquisition and retention. And your example really made me think of, I've got a book coming out in a few weeks called People Shock. And one of the examples that I give in there was with GoDaddy, which is a domain registrar. And I was going, I've been a huge customer there since the 90s. And I was going to look for a new domain and wanted to register it. And as an existing customer, they were offering me a standard existing customer rate. And then I saw online they were offering it for $1.99 for new customers. And so the argument I make in there is, don't treat your new customers better than your existing customers. Yes. So can you talk about that and how you deal with that?
So part of the simulator that we were testing was what we're calling the friendship campaign. And this was a big drive for us, and it was something that we actually implemented after looking at the research. So we figured out that the rule of thumb is around $500 to acquire a new customer every year. So if we give away that $500 in the first year, they're likely going to stay about 7 years after that or more. So invest $500 now to get $500 times 7.
Right.
And we said, well, we can't, because of the trade-off simulator, if we give all the money to the new customers, it's going to be a detriment to our existing customers. So the simulator told us that. So the marketing team said, okay, well, we can't put all of our $500 in one basket to acquire that new customer like most banks do. You see it all the time. You hear the big five are doing it all the time. So ATB took the approach of, we're going to reward the loyalty. So if you believe in us as a bank and you want to go out and promote us to your friends and family, we will pay you $150, and then the new person coming in, they have to be a brand new customer to ATB. If you hit two or three different criteria, if you kind of hit those milestones within 3 months, we pay you $350. So we split the funding in terms of you doing the work for us and rewarding loyalty from a new customer saying, hey, we like you and we really want you to bank with us. We want to demonstrate our ability that we're more than just a bank.
You talked, Tanya, a lot about the cultural aspects. And I mean, ATB, for anyone who doesn't know the background, was government owned and
still are.
Yeah. And had a reputation of being very stodgy, bureaucratic.
Buttoned up, tie up.
Yes. And that has really transformed over the last few years.
Completely.
So how do you make that kind of radical transformation?
You have to. You have to, because part of the research that we did was around the forces, like the old bank, the old stodgy rural bank for the farmers, and ATB, like, we do really well. Like, it's not a segment that we want to give up.
Right.
It's our bread and butter. We're 75 years. We became a bank because other banks pulled out.
That's right.
During the 30s. So we know that that's our roots and we never want to let that go. However, we need to transform so that we're the bank for all consumers. And so those forces at play, we had to, or we're not going to survive. So our executives get together and they say, okay, we need to shake things up. We know these fintech or financial technology disruptors are going to come in and take our shirt off our backs. So if we're not nimble, agile, collaborative, you know, thinking about it from the customer's perspective, we're going to lose our shirts.
So talk about some of the things that you did in terms of the new employee orientation and process, because I thought that was really interesting and sounds like you did that really well.
Yeah. So about 12 or so months ago, ATB came out with a brand new hiring practice. So we created a psychoanalytics test. So any new applicant applying for a job online, they have to go through a questionnaire and it spits out to our HR department whether or not they fit the criteria for what we're looking for in a team member. Mm-hmm. And once they pass that toll gate, then they go on to HR. Once they get the offer letter from ATB and they've accepted, then there's a whole step of processes that has to happen before they even step foot through the door at ATB. The VP has to phone them or email them. Their hiring manager has to do a quick phone call saying, congratulations, looking forward to having you on board, getting to know them a bit more on a personal level. Team members usually shoot out a quick email saying, congrats, can't wait to meet you.
Nice.
First day. And then they start late on their first day so that the entire team, because we have a workplace 2.0 and how we work. It's a flex workstation or work environment. And so, you know, by 10, 11 o'clock, the new hire comes in. We welcome them. There's typically a gift basket that's tailored to their needs.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So you've got to know them a little bit. Yes. And what their interests are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the example I gave was we hired a guy from the UK and he loves The Walking Dead. So I ordered a bunch of cool little knick-knacky things like coffee mugs and kind of swag stuff that we knew that he would appreciate on day one.
Yeah.
On the day one, entire team and new team member, it's a mandatory team lunch. So ATB takes the new team member out and the entire team. We get to know each other. It's kind of a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. And within 2 weeks, they have to go through either spending a day at the branch or listening into phone calls that customers
come in. I love that. That is so good.
Yeah. So they have to sit on the phone and they go through different queues on the phone line. Like it's not just the general queue. There's tier two, tier three, MasterCard, business. So they kind of get toggled throughout the whole day in terms of listening to our customers, just to get it from the customer's perspective, really.
Yep.
In branch, you're basically sitting down behind a teller's station or customer service representative is what we call them. And just interact with our customers, get to know the systems, talk to the branch manager. They go out for the lunch with the branch manager.
Yeah.
And then within 2 months of being on the job, they have to attend a two-day culture day session. And it's driven by all of the executives, and it's part of their mandate that they have to attend these sessions, which is interesting. Yeah, that's Dave Moat driven.
Yeah.
So he's got full buy-in, full support in terms of when we bring in new team members, we want to make sure we got the right people in the room. Mm-hmm. So they go through entire culture days. They show this video. We have core 10 ETBs that we walk them through and talk about it and how give them stories in terms of how situations happened based on what we're going through today. And at the end of those 2 days, the executives basically, each new team member kind of gives a pledge. And if they feel like that they can't buy into what we really want to see ourselves being and becoming, then they're paid to leave.
How much?
$2,000.
Okay, so that's Zappos, I think, was the first one that really did that.
We modeled it after Zappos.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I would think that if you're doing the psychoanalytic screening up front, the number who would choose to leave is pretty small.
Yeah, I think the stat, we had have some take up, take us up on that offer.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on this, but I think it was around two or three since 12 plus months we've been doing this. Yeah.
Okay.
So not many.
Yeah, pretty much covers it. Are there things that you wish I had asked you about and I haven't?
Well, I think one point that we were making during the presentation, really, was Tanya was making, is the impact in the organization of as a result of all of that learning, you know, in terms of acquisition targets and all of the targets they had. Maybe you want to make a comment about that.
Yeah, so part of the reason why we went down this road was because Dave and his executives sat down and said, We want to be number one in market. So those three goals. We want to be number one in market. How do we get there? Mm-hmm. So we backed out the numbers from our market shares and we said, okay, if we want to get to number one, we need to have this sort of percent in terms of share of wallet. If we do that, that equates to X number of new customers and retaining the existing ones that we have, which is near impossible. Like there's always going to be ebbs and flows and people are going to leave us. So that was part of the driving force around when we did the discrete choice to say, when we're acquiring these customers, we want to make sure that we're not losing any of our existing. Mm-hmm. But that was all driven from conversations at Dave's level and his direct reports in terms of we need to take this business further. Mm-hmm. In addition to the acquisition and retention targets, it's how do we focus in on the customer in the center of the wheel and spoke them out to the experts. And part of that is how does the experts connect and communicate with one another as well as communicate with the customer.
Absolutely. That's huge.
So there's kind of two plays. Like we want to drive the bottom line, which is three goals. How we do that is by focusing in on the customer.
So how do you deal with staff who've been there 20, 30 years? And for them, this is a pretty radical change.
It is. So the 10 ATBs, it's about 18 months or so now.
Are those posted somewhere so I can link to them? No,
no,
they're not. Okay.
No, it's in, it's like, if you look at Zappos, Zappos does post theirs.
Yes.
Or is it very close to that?
Okay, got it.
They will be posted, I think, probably in the fall. Sorry, where was I? Lost my train of thought.
Dealing with longtime employees.
Oh, right.
This is a real change.
Yeah, so the if you had Lauren Rubis, have you ever spoke with Lauren Rubis here? Okay, so he's our chief people officer. If I could paraphrase some things that I've heard him say, is, you know, this isn't a fly by the seat of your pants kind of idea. This is a philosophical change from the top down. This is a complete culture shift on how we interact with one another and with our customers. And it's going to take time. You're going to have to practice. Like I said to the gentleman earlier who asked the question, I'm like, I might be really good at three of these, but I think I'm probably weak on these other two. So they're giving us the time to kind of evolve, share our stories. ATV is really big right now on sharing stories around, hey, this happened and here's how I resolved it. And if I hadn't done these two extra steps based on just getting a deeper understanding of that customer, I wouldn't have helped that customer.
So what's the mechanism for sharing those stories?
So we have something internally called Jam.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a Facebook page where we go out and share stories.
Okay, so kind of like O-Positive at Oxford Properties. I don't know if you're familiar with theirs.
Yeah,
okay.
Very similar.
Yeah.
So they're giving us that soak time to kind of figure it all out. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to me frontline? What does it mean to me back office? And I suspect at the end of the day, whatever that end of day looks like, is it 2 years out? Is it 18 months out from now? ATB will be looking at hiring and firing based on these 10 ATBs.
Okay.
We're already looking at hiring side of it because of the psychometrics.
Right. Yeah.
The firing will likely, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
It is a true culture shift. It's not a new gimmick or a new thing that they want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting just to see how so many companies are so reluctant to make the shift to a customer focus. Do you have any thoughts, either of you, on why that is?
Well, there's technology-driven innovation or customer-driven innovation in terms of the digital space.
Yeah.
And, I mean, both have its pros and cons. But to me, at the end of the day, if your customer's happy and you've got that kind of evangelistical kind of customer who's going to go out and promote on your behalf, like if you think of cult brands, Harley-Davidson.
Like, yes.
that's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Or Apple.
That's a lifestyle. It's not a particular product. It's the way that I connect with my family.
Right.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we want to get there.
Yeah.
Like, we want to get to the people with tattoos of ATV Financial on their arms, like Harley Davidson one. You know what I mean? And that's sort of the big vision that we have.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So transforming banking really means getting to that love, the love letters, of getting more of our customers to love us. And that's only going to bring in and bring in more customers, bring in more profit.
Yeah.
It's going to benefit everybody.
Interesting.
Well, I can tell you I will be watching closely to see if ATB does manage to become the Harley Davidson of banking and inspire their customers so much that they actually want ATB tattoos. I wish them good luck with that. But certainly there's no question that the organization has changed how it is perceived by people already quite a bit. It's much more open and welcoming and no longer comes across as the stodgy institution that it did even a few years ago. I'm recording my wrap-up today from Toronto, where I will be attending the Customer Experience Strategies Summit for the next few days. And hopefully recording a whole bunch of fascinating interviews from that you'll be hearing over coming weeks. I will be back in Toronto May 16th to 19th to attend ETAIL Canada, where I'll actually be giving a talk. And if you are in the region and interested in registering for that, you will get a 25% discount for being one of my listeners if you use the code E as in education, C as in Canada, 16FR, as in Frank Reactions. I'm really looking forward over the next few days to starting to hand out my new business card that I had done up for the book, People Shock. I did up these little fold-out business cards that look kind of like a book, since I don't yet have the book ready and able to sell it to people. So it will be coming out soon. And if you want to make sure that you are kept in the loop and are one of the first people to be able to get a hold of the book, as well as getting all kinds of extra bonus materials that I'll be releasing over the next little while, and an invitation to the launch party, if any of that interests you, just go to peopleshock.com, so peopleshock.com, and there's a form there where you can sign up to be on the PeopleShock Insiders list. I'd love to see you there. That's it for today. Chat with you again next week. Bye.